Hey there! Welcome to Product Marketing Maestros, Tales from the Frontlines. I'm your host, Nitin Karthik. As a Product Marketing Alliance ambassador and a top product marketing voice, I've always found that real-world case studies are the true litmus test for the effectiveness of any product marketing strategy. And that is why in this show, we dive into the minds of industry titans, as well as rising stars, unpacking their expertise in action-packed episodes that showcase the power of product marketing through real-world case studies. And today, my friends, we are joined by product marketing maestro, Matt DePersis in New York. Matt is a dynamic product marketing leader with a proven track record of driving over $56 million in revenue growth through go-to-market strategies and sales enablement in B2B ad tech and MarTech. As a Product Marketing Alliance ambassador, he leverages his expertise in product positioning, competitive intelligence, and team leadership. Matt has held leadership positions at Rakuten, Wonderkind, and Viacom, leading cross-functional teams to generate millions in incremental revenue. He holds an MBA from Rochester Institute of Technology and has been recognized with several industry awards, including the Spot On and Golden Pebble Awards. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Matt DePersis. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's fun hearing a bio about myself.
There you go. Your reputation precedes you, Matt. Your reputation precedes you. All right. Wonderful, Matt. So as we promised, we'll give the audience some actionable insights from your experience. And Matt, we'll use the ABC framework. So we'll talk about what were some of the antecedents, the prior challenges. We'll talk about the behaviors, what were some of the actions that you took, and we'll talk about the conclusion, how things played out. So with that, pick a situation from your experience and tell us what were the antecedents, what were the prior challenges?
Yeah, sure. So I think for this story, I'm going to touch on my time at Rakuten Rewards. So if you don't know about Rakuten, they have a cashback app. An app, a browser extension, a website. So there's lots of different ways to interact with Rakuten Rewards. And specifically, this product that I'll touch on was the browser extension. So we had a legacy product that was pretty dormant for quite some time. We called it Button Media, and the sales team didn't really understand it. And we called our customers at Rakuten Reward members, and it wasn't really converting well. So what it was, what Button Media is, and it's still around now, it's an ad unit that's triggered at the time of member engagement. So think when you're shopping on a website and you're indicating that you're interested in making a purchase, the button, as we called it, would activate. And then we had an ad unit available to our merchants to be able to advertise what they wanted to show. There were some challenges with this. It wasn't converting. People didn't like selling it. The messaging was a bit weird. So there were some issues with this product, but I was tasked with reinvigorating it and actually bringing it to market.
Yeah. And I love this example, Matt, because I think what you shared is something that a lot of folks in the audience may be facing, right? There may be some complex product that perhaps the sales team isn't enthused about. Sometimes even the product marketing team, we may not be so enthused about, but we got to make it happen, right? So I love this. So thank you, Matt, for laying out the antecedents. Now, Matt, tell us about the behaviors. What were some of the actions that you took given these challenges?
Yeah, of course. So first thing, we dug into the data. We looked into the analytics and to see what was actually going on with the product. The low-hanging fruit was, first of all, we saw that there were some technical issues with the actual product itself. It wasn't firing all the time. So that was a simple thing that we could see. So that had a pretty easy answer to it. But also the ad format itself was static. So it was just a static image. And we knew from the consumer marketing team at Rakuten Rewards, they were leveraging an animated and a video asset in a pretty similar format, and they were seeing a lot more success. So I myself knew just as a marketer that animated graphics and video formats are always going to perform better than a static image. But our product team didn't necessarily want to invest the engineering resources into swapping out the format. So they really wanted to be proved right that, or wrong in this case, they wanted to be proved wrong that the ad format would actually perform better if there was an animated graphic or there was a video. So what we did on the product marketing team was we collaborated with the design team to create a brand new format. So we leveraged some of the consumer marketing team's assets. We also had to work with the ad ops team to actually make sure that they could operationalize this because we didn't want to break the entire process of collecting assets from our clients and making sure that we could load them into the media unit. And then we needed to make sure that the analytics team and the business intelligence team could actually track the performance of this asset, because that was some of the errors that we were seeing previously. So during this process, we also discovered, especially when looking at the data, that this was much more of an awareness and engagement play, and it didn't really significantly impact conversion. And I think at Rakuten Rewards, they were a performance marketing channel, always looking at conversion, but this specific unit really wasn't driving that ultimate conversion down the funnel. So it's much more top of funnel. So it was a great opportunity for a merchant or an advertiser to get the word out about a new product or a new launch. And also, we could definitely make sure that our members were clicking on it, so they were engaging with the unit. But conversion after they interacted with this, it was up to the member itself. We didn't have a way of leveraging the product and driving that down the funnel activity. So we really needed to reposition the product, and that meant retraining the sales team. That meant, getting them out of that conversion headspace all the time about, there's a lot of opportunity for advertisers and merchants that want to just get the word out and really are just looking for those top of funnel impression metrics.
Amazing, amazing. These actions that you highlighted, I think are great because it indicates that the product itself wasn't bad. It was just like you said, top of funnel awareness. People maybe customers weren't like just so aware of that, and the sales team wasn't very enthused with selling that. So I love this because that in some ways is one type of challenge and one way that we can attack it. Of course, if everyone knew about the product but they were just not willing to buy, then you got to change the whole product. So at least you don't have to do that. So wonderful. So thank you, Matt, for telling us about the behaviors. Now bring it home, Matt. Tell us about the conclusion. How did the situation play out for you?
So it was a revamp pretty much for the entire product. So we built all new materials after we figured out, what the ultimate goals of the product were. So, one sheet and sales deck. We also did the training, as I mentioned earlier. But what was interesting was we redesigned the entire pricing model to match the new goals. So that was something that would combat some of that salesperson pushback. They didn't really know about it. They didn't understand the product. Well, now we had totally new pricing, and it also unlocked an entire segment of our sales team because we divided them, basically small, medium, and large size customers. Now our smaller customers could actually engage with this product that was reserved more or less only for the bigger customers. Now we could use this new product with them, and the sales team had something else in their pocket to sell. It totally different pricing. It matched what the goals was because it wasn't conversion based. We also extended the time that the product would actually serve the unit for. We also did the training that I mentioned. We also had to launch an A/B test to really help with our conversation with the product team. So that was how we convinced them to actually use some engineering resources to swap out the ad format. So we launched an A/B test to around like 60 to 80% of the audience to see if the animated GIF or the video format would perform better, and it was definitely on track to win. It was without a doubt going to perform better than the static image. And the sales team was just thrilled to be selling something new. We started selling about, I think, $500,000 worth of it in less than a quarter. And this product had been completely dormant and really wasn't being used. So, in my eyes, it was a pretty big success. There's always room for improvement, but I think it was off to the right track.
Wow. Now that is, I think, what we would call a success, right? A product that was dormant, that nobody loved, and it had the potential, right? The product itself wasn't bad. And by your efforts, you were able to breathe new life into it. And more importantly, you got the validation of your sales team, right? Our internal clients are essentially our sellers who we enable with our content. So absolutely fabulous, brilliant story. So thank you, Matt, for sharing that. Matt, tell us if people wanted to learn more about you and find out what's next, where can they do that?
That's pretty simple. Just visit, find me on LinkedIn. Just search my name. I'm also, if you're a member of the Product Marketing Alliance Slack community, I'm on there. I'm in a few of the channels, and you can just message me directly.
Absolutely fabulous. Wonderful. Folks, there you have it. Definitely reach out to Matt for more great insights like this and armed with that knowledge, onward and upward.